Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm excited today. We are beginning a brand new series on themes in the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is my favorite book in the whole Bible. Maybe you say, Derek, it's mine too. Or maybe you're thinking, what book is that? I don't know much about the Bible. Well, I'm glad you're with us, whatever your background, because in the book of John is a life-changing message for you, for me, and all who will hear it. Today, we're going to look at signs that point the way. Crucial topic. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Good to see you. Wave to each other. Say hi. Good to have you here. You look great today. We've got some remote team members with us. Let's see who's with us on the screen joining us remotely. Rodney, good to have you with us. Always great to have you with us. Zaria, good to have you back with us. We're glad you're here. And we're glad that you're here with us, wherever you are around the world. We'd love to hear from you. Now, I've got a special gift for you for this series, so get a pencil ready so you can write something down. But I just want to also encourage you to write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. That's sshope@hopetv.org. Or if you watch on our YouTube channel, I think we're up to about 115,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. Lots of comments coming in. You notice them. We love to hear from you. Don't forget to tell us where your home country is. Here's a note from Vincent in Kenya. Vincent writes and says, "Hello, Hope Sabbath School."
Hello.
I think they do that so they can get the wave, right? "My name is Vincent. I'm a serviceman in Kenya. I appreciate how you guys love and are passionate about the Word of God."
Amen. Amen.
"I pray that all of you will be found spotless and blameless when our King Jesus comes in glory."
Amen. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you, Vincent, for writing to us. And that's our prayer, too, not only for ourselves, but for you and all of our Hope Sabbath School members and all who will yet discover the truth in the book of John and in the rest of the scripture that we'll be studying together. Kelechi writes from Nigeria in West Africa. And Kelechi says, "I love the interactive study of the Word of God by people who know," get this, "they know they're not perfect, but they love to talk about Him who can make them perfect for His namesake."
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's a miracle, right?
Yes.
It's an awesome experience, really. And as I mentioned, Kelechi writes from Nigeria. Thank you for writing to us from the great country there in West Africa of Nigeria. Here's a note from a donor couple in California. And let me just pause and say thank you. You know, we don't read the names of donors, but you're part of a great miracle, especially as we're coming toward the end of the year. You say, "Derek, can I be a part?" Absolutely. Go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Click on the little yellow donate button. Say, "God, bless what I can do to join in helping people prepare for the soon coming of Jesus." That's what this donor couple did. They're from California. And they said, "Thank you, Hope Sabbath School. Greetings from Southern California. Once a month, I have the privilege of teaching our Bible class here in Southern California. And in preparation, I always watch Hope Sabbath School the week before and use the outline." Now, you know, I've got an outline here that I'll be teaching from. And you've got one, too, that you'll be following along. And the donor says, "I always use the outline. I praise the Lord for Hope Sabbath School. And like Derek, I say, hallelujah."
Hallelujah.
"Keep up the good work." And a donation from this couple of $10,000 to bless the global ministry.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, I want to tell you, that is the great miracle of God. Thank you. Thank you to each one of you who are part of this global evangelistic media ministry. One last note from Steve in Florida in the United States of America. Steve says, "I appreciate the openness and honesty of the Hope Sabbath School team." Witnessing is so powerful when done with humility.
Amen.
It's powerful, right? By sharing experiences and how the team responded to them helps us all to understand that we're not the only ones who go through those kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. We call that like commonality, right? We can relate to each other. Steve says, thank you. God bless you from Florida in the United States. Well, thank you for those who wrote, but we want to hear from you too. Write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. You say, Derek, you don't need to hear from me. Oh, yes, we do. And not only do we need to hear, but someone else, maybe in another part of the world, will hear your testimony and will be encouraged to draw closer to Jesus. So we'd love to hear. sshope@hopetv.org. Before we sing our theme song, we have a brand new theme song for this series. I want to tell you about a special gift we have for you on this series. Some series ago, we had a collection of scripture songs on the Psalms. Some of you may remember that. And thousands of people downloaded those songs so they can hide God's word in their hearts. Well, I'm excited because for this series on themes in the Gospel of John, we have six trilogy scripture songs from the words of Jesus. Now, I know Jesus sang scripture songs, but I don't know what tunes he used. But we have four songs from the Gospels and two from the book of Revelation, all words of Jesus. And if you go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS, click on the free gift tab, you'll find out how to download those six trilogy scripture songs. I want to thank my wife who put them to music so that we can hide God's word in our hearts. In fact, the song that we're singing now, which isn't part of the collection because it's actually the words of John the Baptist and not Jesus, you can also download that song when you go to our website. Each series, there's a theme song from the scriptures. This one from John 1, 29, 32 and 34. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's learn it together.
Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like I saw the Spirit descending, and He remained upon Him. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin, who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God.
Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That is such a powerful testimony. And you know, while we were singing, I realized that John the Baptist, he was just about Puya's age, just about Kailenda's age. He was a young adult, and yet God used him so powerfully in his short life.
Amen.
And we're going to discover in this series how God used him. And of course, John the Baptist isn't the John the Apostle who wrote the book, but he was the forerunner pointing people
Jesus.
To the Lamb of God, to Jesus. Let's pray as we study today signs that point the way, that the same Holy Spirit who instructed John the Baptist would be our teacher.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're excited and we're humbled to come to the Word of God today. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The holy men of God wrote or spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that the same Holy Spirit of God who inspired the writing of this Gospel of John would inspire us as we study, not just here, but Hope Sabbath School members all around the world, that lives would be blessed and changed as we prepare for eternity with you. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, there aren't many books of the Bible that just plainly tell you why they were written.
Mm.
But John's Gospel is one that tells us about why he gave the signs or recorded the signs. And so we're going to start there. And Sean, if you could read for us in John 20, verses 30 and 31. It's kind of coming to the end of the book. And you say, Derek, we're just starting, I know. But let's hear why, moved by the Holy Spirit, he recorded all of these signs.
Absolutely. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John chapter 20, verses 30 through 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name.
Now, these signs, these are supernatural signs. This is not talking about a road sign, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these are miracles, actually, miracle signs. And he says, I'm recording them for what purpose?
That you may believe.
Yeah, that you may believe first that Jesus is the Christ, but that's don't right. stop believing right. by believing, but what?
Have life.
Have life. Mm. So a saving belief. Because don't the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, Son of God came into humanity. They believe that, but they haven't accepted that mission of Jesus.
Mm.
But that's John's burden for us. Well, it would be wonderful if everyone, even during the time of Jesus, you say, if I was there, Puya, if I was there and I actually got to talk to Jesus. But would you read for us John 12 and verse 37? And then I have a very important question. And Rodney, I'm going to ask you the question first and then give others an opportunity to interact. Puya, you think when the Son of God came and there were many signs, everyone would believe, but what does John record in John 12, 37?
John 12, 37, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him.
Mercy.
Now, of course, that doesn't mean no one believed. You can give me the names of some people who believed.
Mark
may have been around, though he wasn't one of the 12.
Nicodemus,
Joseph of Arimathea, Mary. I mean, there's so many. Martha, right? Many, Lazarus. I mean, you could say, Derek, we could go on for the next hour. But many did not believe. So, Rodney, here's my question for you. Why do some believe and others not believe? Or maybe a more important question, what condition of the heart is necessary in order to see the truth that Jesus came to reveal?
You know, as I was putting this lesson, Derek, I was troubled by it, actually, to just know that two persons can hear the same information and arrive at two different conclusions. And it speaks to the power of choice that God gives to us. And the signs that John has placed in this book for all of us to see and to read is, as we said, for us to believe in Jesus and, of course, to have a saving relationship with him. The truth is that some will choose to believe in Jesus and others will not, having the same information. So for our study today, it is encouraging to us, or we are encouraging each other and for those who are viewing, that we will choose to believe that Jesus is the Christ and we can live eternally with him. Mm.
Thank you so much, Rodney. I see lots of hands. Important question. Travis, is there anything it is a choice, right? But is there anything that we can do that could help us to be more receptive so we see the truth as it is in Jesus?
Yeah, Derek, I was thinking of in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4, it talks about this veil that the God of this age, referring to Satan, has blinded the mind of men so that they would not see the gospel. Mm. We can pray that the God of heaven would take this veil off of our eyes. Out of our, it says that our mind is blinded. Well, we know we can't see with our mind, but we can ask that veil be taken off so that we can see the gospel.
Amen. Powerful. Somebody else, Puya.
I started to think about what John must have felt like to write this book, right? And scholars believe that he probably wrote this just before he passed away.
So he was an aged man.
Right.
We don't know exactly when, but in the 90s AD.
Right.
And many had chosen not to believe, right?
Right. And so I wonder, maybe for many years, he passed on the stories of Jesus through words. But he started thinking probably, like, if I don't write this down, a lot of people would never hear these stories. Mm. And he suffered for these stories.
Right.
And they were true. And so I believe there's just so much evidence to believe that John is telling us what he really witnessed.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And people may ask, and I see some hands raised, we've already got three Gospels. Why do we need this one? And I think we need, as we study themes in the Gospel of John, to say, that's why the Holy Spirit added this fourth Gospel. Because there are many things that come from the burden of John's heart by the Spirit that we wouldn't have heard otherwise, right? Mm-hmm. Nicole?
I was going to say, we need the choice is there, but I think we need a willingness. Our heart needs to be willing to accept what it is that we can't see and what we know. So,
isn't there a gospel song, Change My Heart,
yes.
Oh God? Mm. So I need a miracle, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You've taken a biblical text, Travis, and said, we need the veil that the enemy's put over the eyes because he doesn't want anyone to be saved,
right?
Scott?
I was just going to go on with the willingness angle and say that sometimes we may not feel willing, but we can tell God, hey, I'm not willing, but I'm willing to be made willing.
That's right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Give me some Bible text. We don't have to look them all up, but isn't there a text, if anyone lacks wisdom, you say, I don't know what to do.
Yes.
What
yes.
can we do?
Ask.
We can ask of God, James 1, verse 5. What about if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children,
right.
How much more will your Father in heaven give?
Yes. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit to those who
ask.
So there's that choice, right? Luke 11. Verse 13. So there are some things we can do.
Yes.
Help me to be willing. Change my heart, God. Move the veil, right? Mm-hmm. And I would challenge you, as I'm challenging myself in this series on themes in the Gospel of John, to say, God, do whatever you need to do to take away the blinders so that I can see the truth as it is in Jesus, the saving truth that will impact my life for time and for eternity. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start now with that in mind. We're praying, God, take the veil away, right? Holy Spirit, help me to understand, help me to see. We're going to the first sign.
Mm.
And Jenna, if you could take us there to John chapter 2 and... maybe this is the first time someone's heard that the first miracle of Jesus was actually at a wedding, not far from where Jesus grew up in Nazareth, in the town of Cana. Let's listen carefully. And as Jenner is reading, what important lessons can we learn from this first sign? John 2, verses 1 through 11, Jenner.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John 2, 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him.
Mm. Mm. Anybody, what impresses you in this story? Kalinda, it's at a wedding. And Sophia, I see your hand.
I believe that these miracles are performed in relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some people wonder why he went to that wedding. Maybe they were relatives. We don't know all of the details, but Mary was there and had his mother and somehow was concerned that things would go well. So we don't know. Sophia.
I just love how he did it well. You know, he didn't do it halfway. He didn't do it sloppily. He did the best wine there's ever been, you know.
The best ever. I'm kind of a math person here. So 20 to 30 gallons and 6 water pots. How many gallons of best tasting wine did he make?
Right. I want some.
Somewhere between, just say a lot, right? 120 to 180 gallons. Mm. By the way, people get hung up on wine, the word oinos, and this can mean fermented or unfermented. Mm. I can't imagine Jesus producing 120 to 180 gallons of alcoholic drink to get everybody intoxicated. It was the best they'd ever tasted. Yeah. Mm. In fact, it was what it should really taste like, right? Amen. But kind of an interesting miracle. I see Rodney and then a couple of other hands here. Rodney, what lesson do you learn in this first miracle of Jesus? First sign, as John calls it.
I would just like to follow up on what Kalinda just said. If we go back to our discussion just a while ago, we did say that the purpose of the signs, why John recorded it, is to help us to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that we will have life and life more abundantly with him. Then if you go over to Genesis, the very beginning of how God interacted with man, you see the intimacy in how God made man. Meaning making him from the ground. Now, here it is. Now, Kalinda's point is very, very prudent because now we see the first sign being in a setting where there is a close relationship. You can't get a bit closer than a wedding. And Jesus chose this setting to say, I really want you to believe that I want to have a close relationship with you. So even the setting that you chose to do the first sign, it was well thought out and very, very intentional on Jesus' part to ensure that we all understand that he's a God of relationship.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Scott, Jenner, I think, had your hand raised too.
You know, as I was reading this, I was noticing that even though there were some probably large number of guests at the wedding, the focus is not on those guests. It says that Jesus is the first of Jesus' signs, and it says his disciples believed in him. And Jesus started first with those he was training to carry on his message. And one of the key words of John is believe. And you think about, what does it mean that Jesus' disciples believed in him? That's this is not just simply saying, okay, yeah, he is this cool person. No, I mean, Jesus' disciples, their belief eventually cost them their lives.
Right. Mm.
This was a full commitment. Mm-hmm. And it started small in this way with Jesus doing this one sign.
You know, I was just thinking, he didn't go out into the middle of the wedding and say, okay, everybody, watch this. Why? Because in order to see truth, what have we said you need, Nicole?
You need faith.
You need faith. You need a receptive heart.
Right.
So he doesn't do that. He just does it kind of in private.
Yeah. Mm.
And the servants are going, really? You want me to take water out to the chief of the feast? Jenner.
I really like what Mary said. Whatever he says to do, do it. I think that's a timeless truth for all of us all throughout time. And especially as we see that the first glimpse of the disciples believing, seeing the sign, and this attitude of constant believing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop there. Just the beginning.
Right. Yeah. I want you to think about a sign that Jesus revealed to you, where you said, wow, he's more than just another teacher. Yeah. We'll come back to that a little later, but I want to make sure we cover these major signs at the beginning of John's gospel. Only recorded by John, by the way. Only recorded by John. Let's go to John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. And Scott, if you could read that for us, starting in John 4, 46 to 54. Let's look at the second sign, as John calls it. These are signs pointing to Jesus as Messiah.
And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee.
So how does this miracle differ? Zaria, can I ask you this question? How does this miracle differ from the miracle in the wedding feast at Cana?
So the one with the wedding feast in Cana showed that, you know, Jesus is doing it in private. We see that he goes to the back and he makes the water into wine. But from this miracle, the person had so much faith. He had faith in trusting in Jesus that he would be able to do it. So he just went automatically. And it just shows that with one, they didn't have faith. And this one, he had so much faith and just went back home based off of Jesus' commands.
Capernaum was a pretty good hike from Cana. So he came a long way. But he came believing. Back to the condition of the heart. Travis?
The thing that got me, Derek, as I looked at these two miracles was this. And that was, one is life or death.
Right.
And the other one actually seems small because they had water. They had things. They had something to drink. So as I'm reading it and I'm contemplating both miracles, I'm thinking, Jesus cares about the little things. And he cares also about the big thing. Nothing is too small and nothing is too large. He cares about it all.
Anybody else? What impresses you about this miracle? Yes, so Rodney.
In the first example of the sign, we see an inanimate object, an inanimate object, which is actually water. In the second one, we see an animate object, which is actually a person, a son. So I think the messaging there that I got, just looking at the two signs, is that whether it is, you know, animate or inanimate, God is still in control. You also seen the first where Mary was the one that made the request, who is a female. And then in the second, you see a man, of course, a nobleman, making the request to Jesus. So whether you're male or female, whether you're inanimate or animate, like Jesus is saying that I'm the one in control. And again, I want to have a close relationship with you. The interesting thing too, Derek, is that in the first sign, it should have dragged something in the memory of those who are around them, because there was a time in history when water was transitioned to something else, which was water to blood in the case of Moses. And Moses spoke about the prophet who will come. Of course, you are speaking of Jesus.
Sure. And of course, through Moses, water was provided, or drink was provided out of the rock and the bread of heaven. Nicole?
Well, it strikes me, as Rodney was just speaking, that in both cases, Jesus was asked, and he did. Okay. And so sometimes we just need to ask him, and if it's in his will, he will do it for us too.
Okay, so here's a big discussion question, Nicole. Thank you for bringing it up. And that is it appropriate, or maybe I should ask, when is it appropriate to ask Jesus for a miracle? Nobleman asked, right? Mary, Well, Mary just said, could you do something, right?
Right.
What do you think, Sean?
I think Jesus gives us the example of when we should ask.
Okay.
When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, getting ready to go to the cross, he brought his request to the Father, if it be your will, may this cup pass from me. Mm-hmm. So he was being honest with the Father of his desire. He asked for a miracle, but he was willing to submit to whatever God was going to do. In the same way, we can ask the Lord for miracles, but let us have faith that he will do what's right and submit to his will.
Mm. Okay. Puya, we want to add to that?
Yes. Back to the text that we read earlier, Jesus said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so I think the key difference could be that we should not base our belief merely on miracles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's okay to ask for one, but not to base our system of beliefs on just the performance of signs and wonders.
Or ask for a miracle just so we can see it.
Right.
Can you think of someone in the gospel record?
Herod.
Yeah. Herod. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to see a sign. No.
Right.
But if there's a genuine need,
yes.
You're saying it is appropriate to ask, but John, you're saying, Father, you know, your will be done.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can anybody share a time you asked for a miracle? Yeah. Anybody? Sean?
It's a miracle, not in the world, but in my own heart.
Okay.
I remember a time when I was just coming to Christianity, and someone I dearly loved actually pulled a gun on someone else I loved, and a terrible altercation occurred and destroyed my family. And but those who were discipling me said, well, maybe you should pray to be reconciled with this loved one. And I didn't want to do it. But the more I began to pray, as hard as it was, slowly my heart softened. I became forgiving and actually reconciled with this person.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, such forgiveness can only come from a divine being who forgave the world for the evil they did to him. And it was at that moment I knew Jesus was the real deal.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah. Powerful testimony. Zaria.
Yes, when I was younger, I used to be bullied. And so I went to God with prayer about the situation and I asked him to help me get through it. And he did guide me through it. And I realized even with the small and large things, just like this story is telling us, that he's always going to be there. I realized he gave me peace throughout the situation and he eventually stopped the bully from like pretty much messing with me. So.
Yeah, some people might say, well, that's not a big thing, but it is a big thing when you're at a certain age and a bully is harassing you. So I think I'm hearing you say, we ought to ask.
Yes.
Didn't Jesus say that somewhere? Ask.
You shall receive.
And you will receive. And we're saying God according to your will. Nicole?
So over 20 years ago, I was traveling to Bali from the U.S. and I left my passport in the cab that took me from the home to the airport in New Jersey. And when I got to, I got as far as Guam and I couldn't go any further without my passport. And I literally was in the airport praying because I don't know how I'm going to get my passport to me so I can continue my trip. And I prayed and prayed. And the only option was for the passport to somehow make it to the next plane coming to Guam to take me to Bali. Long story short, the passport made it to Guam.
You're telling me that a taxi driver noticed that you'd left your passport?
I noticed, called my sister, who called the taxi driver who got the passport to her. She brought it to the airport. They put it on the plane.
Wow.
The plane came to Guam with the passport. And even in Guam, they told me, we're probably not going to be able to get it through customs fast enough to get it to you to get on the next plane to Bali. You'll have to wait 3 more days to go to Bali. I prayed and prayed and prayed. Passport made it to me in the airport. I literally jumped over the space between the airplane and the airport because they were leaving.
Can't do that anymore.
Not anymore. And got on with my passport. And I have to say that it was a miracle that it actually made
Amen.
It
wow.
to me in Guam so I yes. could go on to my trip in Bali.
That's awesome.
Now listen, while we're listening to Nicole's testimony, we realize the real impact is not about getting the passport, is it?
But glorifying God.
The real impact is that there's a God in heaven.
Amen.
That's
right.
Who works.
Amen.
Scott?
Amen. And you know, to go along with this, I think Puya pointed this out a little bit already, but when Jesus says, unless you people see signs, he's talking to plural. He's talking to more people. So there's one person asking him for a miracle, and Jesus says, unless you people, plural, see signs. when Jesus does his signs, oftentimes it's for with a bigger picture in mind. And sometimes it's looking for a bigger impact. And so, you know, getting the passport, that's one thing, but then being able to share it with other people, you know,
that's right.
You know, that's the added impact. And so sometimes we can look and say, well, why doesn't God do this one thing in my life? Well, sometimes there's a bigger picture at play that we may not know.
Right. For sure. Well, you keep thinking there may be another time when you say, God showed a sign to me. And by the way, that doesn't mean that he loves you more. It just means that you were paying attention.
That's right.
Yes, Sophia.
I remember one time, I think I was 11. And it's just a little thing, but it just shows that he cared enough.
Amen.
My grandmother is from Belarus, and she flew here for the first time. She hates planes, but she flew here and stayed like about a month with us. And it was time for her to go, and I didn't want her to go. Oh. So I prayed to God that her flight would be canceled.
Now that's what we're being. You know, but God may just hear the prayer of a child, right?
Yeah,
right.
We went all the way to the airport, and it got canceled because of bad weather. I got 2 more days with him.
Amen.
We may get emails from people asking Sophia to pray about other things. But again, it wasn't just so much about 2 more days with grandma before she went back to Belarus, right? Yeah. It was showing one of his precious daughters that there's a God in heaven who loves you, right?
Relational.
The real key, that's right, Jenna, relationship. The real key is what we said at the beginning. God, have I been blinded by the God of this world, which is the enemy, Satan, right? Or would you open my eyes so I can see when you're showing me, when you're working in miraculous ways? Well, we're going to keep going. You may think of another one we'll share in just a minute. But we're going to another story, another sign only recorded by John in John chapter 5. And Nicole, would you read that for us, the first 9 verses of John chapter 5.
Okay, so John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 in the New International Version says, "Some time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?' 'Sir,' the invalid replied, 'I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk.' At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked." The day on which this took place was a Sabbath.
And that's very interesting because he'll be attacked for that because the religious leaders said, "You're not supposed to do things like that." And you're like, what? Just saw this amazing sign that Jesus is Messiah. And all you can do is complain about the day he did it. By the way, Jesus, didn't he say it's good to do good on the Sabbath day, right? The Sabbath was made for man, for human family, not the family for the Sabbath. So, but let's talk about this long-held tradition. I need your help on this. This long-held tradition that an angel would come and stir the water. And whoever, survival of the fittest, could make it to the water first, even pushing other people out of the way, you know, would be healed if they got to the water first. What do you think about that? I mean, was there actually an angel sent from God who created this fierce competition to make it to the water? What do you think, Scott?
You know, that story appears in the margins of some manuscripts of the book of John, but it doesn't appear in the oldest manuscripts. And so it seems to have been a later explanation for why this was happening. And it just, to me, seems out of character with the rest of the story.
So one suggestion is maybe it was something that was added later, but even if it was original, even if it was original, doesn't mean it was an angel from God, right? Why does this just not sound like our loving creator and redeemer, Jenner?
It doesn't look like God would create a scenario like that.
Right.
Because God wants to heal, and he gives that desire to be healed. And actually, in the passage here, we do see that whenever this was happening, Jesus said, do you want to be made well?
Yeah.
So he wants to heal everyone, but it is there that he cannot force them.
And by the way, he doesn't say, I'll hang around and I'll get you to the water when it starts rippling, right? Sean, right. What do you think?
I'm disheartened that people believe this, because if it really came from God, what God is doing is he's saying, those who really need to be in this pool will never be healed. So those who genuinely needed it wouldn't be there. And it makes him a stingy God if this was our God. Because, only one person each day can get healed? No, Jesus is unlimited in his grace.
Amen.
And as my brother was saying, he wants to heal everybody.
Wow.
Amen.
There's so much there. And of course, we'll probably get an email from you saying, but Derek, I was always thinking that, what is the character of God like?
Right.
Jesus, do you want to be made well? I mean, it's just that. Do you want to be made well? How fast can you run? Did you use your elbows?
No.
No. Do you want to be made
That's
well?
Right.
Kailinda, what do you think about this sign?
This is a blurring of medicinal and mystical, right? Because there can be medicinal benefits to bathing. There seems to be this mystical element of a stirring of the water, of a time to enter. And I think what's important in this story is that Jesus doesn't condemn the man for seeking healing in the way he sought it, right? You know, obviously, this is not the path to healing that one should seek. It's taking something that could be a medicinal benefit and turning it into a free-for-all at a bath, right? It's taking something that could be asking for God's blessing and turning it into this, an angel's coming, let's stampede into the water. But God says, What do you want? What can I do for you? Yeah. Here's someone who's seeking healing, and God wants to reach out and continue the healing process.
Nicole, I have a question for you. I know your hand's not raised, but what do you learn about, you've got some medical background. What do you learn about a person who's been there for 38 years, and Jesus says, do you want to be made well? And he doesn't say, yes, I want to be made well. Instead, he says, there's nobody to help me. what's going on? I love what Kailinda said, because he looks past all of that clutter.
Yeah.
But what's the condition of this man at this point?
I mean, he could feel somewhat despondent that he's been waiting for 38 years for someone to help him and no one's helped him. And I think that's the human condition, is that sometimes we don't get our things answered immediately. We begin to doubt. We begin to have a little despair. And we begin to forget that God is still in the healing business. And so for him, I think he believed, but it just might have been that he had been waiting so long, the human condition took over his ability to kind of hold on and say, yes, I want to be made well. So that might be just what's going
on. Isn't it amazing, though, that Jesus doesn't say, well, wrong answer. Wrong answer, you're talking about this tradition, right? He says, listen.
I love you.
Yeah.
Rise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get your mat.
Take up your mat.
Walk.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you thankful for the mercy of God, the patience
Hallelujah.
Of God? Travis, what do you learn in this sign? This is the third sign that Jesus gave, recorded by John.
This story, Derek, is amazing, actually, when you sit and break it down and look into it. For one, there is a multitude of people there. A multitude, it says.
Right. Yes.
And the man who is healed says there's nobody there to help.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the only one that shows up, it seems. It seems like there's a multitude of people and no one ever comes to help. Here Jesus takes a Sabbath day and he says, I'm going to go help people where nobody shows up. One thing that impressed me about this man is that he didn't just want to be physically healed. He wanted to be spiritually healed. And you say, Travis, how do you know that? Because the next day he's in the synagogue and Jesus never instructed him to go there.
Amen.
Yeah, and of course, Jesus reveals his identity to him, doesn't mm-hmm. he? Mm-hmm. Powerful, powerful story. Rodney, I see your hand.
I see the two examples here being reflected. One is, you have to work your way to get into that pool. And if you're not first, sorry, you won't be here. Mm-hmm. And the other way is having faith in Jesus. The question is asked, do you want to be healed? Yes, he went on to explain, and Jesus has made him well. So the two examples here is just reflected, the dichotomy between the two. And it is clear that we're not going to work our way to be saved. Mm-hmm. We're going to be saved by having faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. What a revelation of the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. Now, I'm going to ask a personal testimony. Mm. And this is just, you can say, Derek, I don't want to share. It's okay. But is anyone being stuck in a hopeless situation? Mm-hmm. And you feel, I just need to testify today that Jesus came and met me there. Now, I'm speaking to you, too. We'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. You say, Derek, I was stuck in a hopeless situation and almost gave up, but Jesus came and met me there. Please send us a note. Mm-hmm. Send us your testimony, sshope@hopetv.org. But let's listen to the team. Somebody want to share, guided by the Spirit. Maybe we all have some kind of testimony, a time when you felt stuck in a hopeless situation and Jesus met you there. Mm. Anybody? Mm. Puya.
I remember during my teenage years, I struggled with a lot of doubts about God's existence mm-hmm. for some period. And it was very hopeless because even though I was trying to find answers, I just couldn't find. And I was asking God for a miracle, like we were saying about praying for a miracle. Like, God, can you at least send an angel or give me a sign so I could believe? Mm. It's strange that for someone like me who grew up in the church, being taught about God and the Bible, you know, every week, I still had a lot of questions that I was struggling with. Mm-hmm. But as I knelt and pray and seek God, there was this sense of somehow realization that Jesus is real. But now looking back over the years, from those teenage years, God continued to give me answers step by step, one question at a time. And now I get to, you know, share with people about why I believe God exists and why He cares. Mm. And it, from that hopeless situation of struggling with so many questions, yeah. God has given me answers in His timing.
I want to thank you for sharing. And Sean, I see your hand. Jenna, I see your hand. I want to thank you for sharing because someone may be watching and say, well, I wish I could be like Sophia or Puya or Kalinda, who never had any kind of questions or struggles. And you're saying, no, I was in what felt to me at that time like a very helpless situation. Jenna, I saw your hand first and then come to Sean.
Yes, last year we were expecting a baby and everything was going perfectly. But we received some news that something wasn't right and that the baby was born premature. And our baby, Sophia, was her name. And actually, basically, she was born, and then 3 days later, she wasn't able to make it. So that was really difficult for us. And it was devastating. And it took us a long time to recover from that. And of course, you know, it's a process that will take our entire lives until Jesus comes back. And the hope of the resurrection, actually, is what brought us back up and it was so transformational, just going through the process and seeing John 11, that he is the resurrection and the life.
Yeah.
And if we believe, he's gonna make a way. So tragedy can transform you. And, you know, my wife and I, we're definitely in that path of transformation.
So if you don't mind me asking, and thank you for your openness to share, I feel that pain. How did Jesus help you through what appeared to be just a very dark and hopeless time?
Yes, Jesus and his presence, his promises, and through people especially with their healing presence, just there and just the hope of Jesus coming back and giving us our baby back to us on the resurrection.
Wow.
That is what keeps us going.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. There are times when it is difficult for us to even ask.
Right.
But sometimes fellow believers can come around and pray for us.
Mm. Amen.
And pray with us.
Amen.
When we only have liquid prayers.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
That's tears, right?
That's
all
right.
We have is liquid prayers. Mm-hmm. But someone can come alongside, not with a trite answer, not with superficial comments.
Right.
Mm.
But can bring us before the Lord of life.
Listening.
And help us to remind us of the
Amen.
Hope that's ours in Jesus. Right. Well, I want to wrap up the story with verses 17 to 19 with the question of why Jesus performed signs. Why didn't he just come and tell us who he was and how to get to heaven?
Mm.
And yet John records first sign, second sign. This was the third sign. So let's take a look. And Sophia, if you could read for us in John chapter 5, verses 17 through 19.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he was not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner."
So if you hear what Jesus just said, why does Jesus perform these signs? Anybody? Why does he perform them?
Because he sees his Father doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's what the Father asked him to do. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard someone say, "Oh, I love Jesus, but I don't like the Father"?
Mm.
But Jesus says, "If you've seen me,
you've seen the Father."
Yeah. And I'm just doing what pleases the Father.
That's right.
So this relational miracle at Cana, this caring for this son, I like what you said, Rodney, not just an inanimate object, but a person. This situation with a man who's basically chronically depressed and kind of given up 38 years on a mat with no one to help him.
Mm.
And Jesus just breaks through all of that darkness and heals him. Jesus says, "I am revealing the Father to you."
Mm.
The immeasurable, the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. Nicole?
It just hit me. It is never too late to accept Jesus and
That's
to have
right.
the Father do a miraculous work in our lives.
Amen.
So
mm.
even if you think you're at the end of your rope and you are desperate and you are depressed, if you just have even the slightest willing spirit, Jesus is still working in this world to do what only he can do in our lives. And
Amen.
I just think that's... gives me hope. It gives me hope that he's still working for us.
Amen.
So we've been studying these three signs, and John would say, if he could be here, he sleeps until the resurrection too, just like
Amen.
Little Sophia. But he would say, "I hope you see why I recorded these."
Right.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That you would know that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, you would have life
Amen.
Through his name. Puya.
And what stood out for me from that text was that the religious leader sought to kill Jesus after seeing these miracles.
Yeah.
And I believe the lesson here is the importance of opening our hearts, being willing to, you know, change maybe our preconceived ideas if Jesus is showing us who he is, who he says he is.
So I want to wrap up the discussion with a personal reflection.
Mm.
We've been praying that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We've got Rodney and Zaria joining us remotely. We've got our team here.
Mm.
What is the most important lesson that the Spirit of God is impressing upon your heart as a result of this study? We've heard some powerful testimonies. What's the most important lesson the Holy Spirit? Nicole, will you start for us?
He loves me.
That's right.
He really does. Yeah. And even when I don't like myself, he still loves me, and I have to just believe that because he's going to take me through whatever it is I'm going through.
That's right.
He's going to do it for me because he loves me.
That's right.
You know, if you don't mind me reflecting, Nicole, what impressed me was the way you said, he loves me.
Yes. Amen.
It's not just, he loves me. He wants us to experience how much he loves us. Zaria, what's the most important lesson you take away from the study today?
From this study today, I've been just blessed to know that God has given us account of everything right here in this book about Jesus's life. And it's up to us to read his word and follow his will and listen to him and to read his commandments and to abide by them so that we can have that life with him and so that we can have the blessings that he has in store for us.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Zaria. And that's why the Holy Spirit inspired John to write this fourth gospel. Rodney, I see your hand. Important takeaway lesson you've learned.
He will find me wherever I am.
Amen.
In my darkest moments, if I open my heart, he will find me and take me from that place to transform my life forever. That's what I've learned.
Beautiful. Thank you. Kailinda.
The lesson's entitled Signs That Point the Way.
Yes.
But unless we know the way, we can read these signposts in many different directions. The Pharisees said, nope.
Kill him, right?
Kill him. People said, oh, it's, you know, just a magic show. But you need to know the way to read the signpost.
And the way is?
Jesus.
Jesus said, I am the way. So I want to challenge you, and we're challenging ourselves too, to say, Jesus, become ever more real in my life. Take away the blinders the enemy's put that darken the way and make it difficult for me to see the truth. Send me your Holy Spirit so I can see. Give me wisdom from on high so that when the revelation comes, when the miracle is offered, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to make you well? That we will say, yes, Lord, according to your will, whatever you need to do, whatever miracle you need to do to save me eternally in your kingdom. That's my prayer. Well, friend, would you join me in that prayer today? And this is an amazing journey as we go through the themes in the Gospel of John. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, John himself said, I wrote this so that people would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life. And I pray for each person who's watched the program today that we might say, yes, Jesus, let me know you, whom to know is life eternal, and find eternal life through you. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. We're just starting the journey. Themes in the Gospel of John. Don't forget to go to the website, get the free gift, keep studying, and take what you've learned today. Go out and be a blessing to those around you.